Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junkie Nation, due to some technical difficulties, this show featuring UFC fighters Justine Kish and Johnny Walker is joined in progress.
And it sucks. Like, I was 2 months into my recovery, and I had to get surgery again because my body rejected the donor tissue. So my own tissue seems to be the best solution. And we did a little bit of my hamstring. And it's seriously, it feels strong. It feels like it's great. It feels like I can do way more than I'm limited to right now. But that's why I have the PI. The people at the UFC Performance Institute, they really keep me at my mark where I'm supposed to. Mm-hmm. Because I just want to go ham. Mm-hmm. Every single day.
What can you do right now? You can do jiu-jitsu probably, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. What I can do is I wake up, I swim a mile, okay. I work with my clients, I hold pads. I'm working on building this women's self-defense group while I'm here because I have this downtime.
Over at Drysdale,
yeah. So I'm really like, when I'm in camp, I'm so self-absorbed. I'm only thinking about myself and the pace and the cadence. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm on this recovery part. So maybe I can try to figure out how to, like, give to others and how to, like, really push my knowledge to others and how I can share it. If it's not people that are experienced, actually I'm catering towards the crowd that are inexperienced but that have the interest, that want to, like, learn how to push and pull their own weight, yeah. That want to learn how to defend themselves. So I'm just kind of putting a little spin on what I've learned when I was a kid teaching self-defense, and then putting a little twist with competitive drills, with things that will improve not just like how to strike and how to kick and how to defend yourself, but fundamental fitness too. So it's fun trying to figure this out while I'm in this downtime. I don't rest well, so I want to try to figure out how to use my energy in different ways, and I'm doing it to help other women out. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous how that would go with an area that I've never been to, like resided before. I've been to Vegas many times. I had my UFC debut at MGM Grand. So I've only really competed in Vegas, never lived here. So it's a completely, living here is completely
pretty
different.
Cool, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. That's
what I tell people. People's like, how can you do it with the gambling and, you know, the nightlife and the drinking? And I'm like, well, I do that, but just not every day. I got to pick your spots, and that's that.
You can choose your experience.
It's a city. We have a Home Depot, and we have a Walmart, and we have
TJ Maxx.
Yeah, it's
now
all
we
there.
Have a hockey team.
Huh?
Now we have a hockey team.
And now we have a hockey team as well. You checked out the hockey team yet?
I know about them.
You haven't been to the T-Mobile Arena?
I haven't. My brother is a huge Penguins fan, so I can't, just because he has a whole entertainment center, has all Penguin stuff and Steelers, and so I've become, because of my brother, I'm a Penguins fan. So,
that can change, Justine.
It does.
I think it can. Kevin Ioli is a huge Pittsburgh Penguins fan.
He is, yeah. You know, the writer from Yahoo Sports, Kevin Ioli, he was all Pittsburgh, and I think he forever will be, but he invested in some season tickets, and now you see him sporting all the gear. He's lived here for the last 35 years or something. He's immersed himself in the community. So he's a fan of two teams. I think you could pull it off if you wanted to.
I guess I could be like, oh, hey, I'm a residential fan.
And the Raiders are coming too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is Vegas long-term or just for the year?
Undecided. I love it. It's very easy for me to pick up. And, like, I don't have children. I'm not married. So it's very easy for me to pick up and go. And I really love that kind of lifestyle. And for what I want to achieve, if I see, like, a camp that I really love and coaches that I want to be around and environment I want to check out, it's very easy for me in a situation that I am to pack up all my things and to leave and to reside in a different area. I love that. I'm going to give myself a few more years to be able to do that.
Gotcha.
So it's like a gypsy life, but same time I can pack up and leave and move anywhere. My family's in North Carolina. I've got my brother, my sister, my mom, who's almost 80 years old. They're all in North Carolina. I have a coach out there too. I train over at Jimmo. So I'm making a lot of decisions right now, trying to figure out if I'm going to do my, maybe I'll do my training camp here. Maybe I'll do it on the West Coast. Maybe back in North Carolina. Maybe I'll kick it off in Asia. I haven't decided yet. So I'm really the kind of person that if an opportunity presents itself, I will just get after it.
Okay, I want to go back to one more question. You partly answered it, but I was wondering more specifically when I said, what can you do? What I meant was, can you, as far as like MMA training goes, I know wrestling's the last one. Mm-hmm. But can you roll on the ground and do jiu-jitsu?
Not yet.
Oh, no. Okay.
Sorry, I forgot to explain that. So
kickboxing, like.
Yeah, I wake up, I swim, then I work with my client, and I do my class. I teach my self-defense class, and then I go to the PI. I do my physical therapy, and then I do my strength and conditioning. And then sometimes I like to go over to True Fusion, do like kettlebell class or a yoga class, some sort of class that I just like to do with a public, you know, with public environment.
Okay.
And then I'm at home. I mean, I'm on a routine.
Can you hit pads?
Not yet. I mean, the next step really will be pivoting. So I can't really handle other people's body weight just yet. Mm-hmm. I can do like very small drills, like I can hold pads for my clients, which is a huge thing. And I was just thinking, what am I going to do with myself while I'm in this state of like lameness, you know? And I actually got connected with a friend here, and he connected me to work at a supplement store. So I've been working at a supplement store while I'm done in the evenings, because like from like 4 to like 9, I'm like, what? I got to do something. I got to work out. I got jiu-jitsu. But like, no, you got to sit and you got to recover. I can't do that. So I got.
Yeah, don't you got Netflix or something?
I do, but I don't do well with it. I have to be really exhausted. I've got to exert my energy. So I put it towards like the store, and I'm doing really well with the store. And it's a supplement store. I'm learning a lot about BCAAs, proteins, aminos. And if they have questions beyond that, then I have all the help that I need. But it's been really cool. I'm learning all about retail now.
I have to imagine fighting has to be on your mind 24/7. Is there like maybe a secret hit list that you just think about in your head? Like, this is what I want to do when I get healthy, and this is the route I want to go. Any like matchups that not like a call out to be mean or anything, mm-hmm. but just somebody that you say, you know what, that person I feel like I match up with really well. It'd be fun to.
That's
do
a
that.
Really easy question for me. And with flyweight and with strawweight, I mean with strawweight Rose Namajunas, I would take that next week. I would love that. I would take that fight next week if I could right now. If I got a phone call that's saying, hey, will you fight Rose Namajunas for the champ? I'll say absolutely. And I'll do everything in my power. I'm nowhere near 115 pounds. But I will definitely get as close as I can to it. I don't care what
it
costs.
You got to get to it.
I would get to it for sure.
Remember the championship?
I was talking about next week, though.
Oh, next week. Yeah.
Yeah, if they call me next week, I mean, I would do everything. I mean, I'm probably like 140-something right now. I'm not close to 115. But if that opportunity presented itself, I would do everything I could.
Well, first, what do you think your immediate future lies? We spoke off camera, but now that we're on the show and it's flowing, mm-hmm. let's tell the audience. They're wondering because your last flight was flyweight.
Was flyweight.
The one before that was strawweight. Mm-hmm. So where do you think you'll go to next?
I woke up on weight, which was such a great feeling. I woke up on weight for flyweight. That was 125 in my last fight. I would like to say that it's really both. Like, I really want to compete more frequently. In Thailand, I'm competing every weekend and competing, you know, win or loss. I mean, I can really address any sort of mistakes and things I want to accomplish, like, the next weekend, especially with no injury. I'm going to keep that a surprise because it's a surprise for me right now. I know what I want to do, and I just want to compete as frequently as possible. You know,
you want me to kick goes out of the room and then you'll tell me secretly? Or
I don't know.
Or keep it for yourself only?
I wish I could tell you, but it's really going to take a phone call to say, hey, do you want to do this? And I will, of course, I will say yes.
What are you hoping they say? Strawweight or flyweight?
I just want to compete. I just want to go out there and do. I mean, a flyweight would be a stronger, probably a smarter, more healthier option.
Okay.
But if they gave me an option, you know, a top tenner for flyweight, I would definitely take it. I don't perform at my best. I definitely don't want to end on the note that I did for my last strawweight fight. That was awful. That was disgusting. I've got to shake for my own peace of mind. I've got to have another strawweight fight. Whether they want me there or not, I'm going to leave it up to the UFC on where they want me to go. They have
3-1 is a strawweight and 2-1 is a flyweight, right?
Good question. I've had
two overall
losses.
Yeah, it looks like as a flyweight. Yeah, the catchweight I'm putting more as a flyweight fight. Mm-hmm. But to me, it looks like from what I can tell. Oh no. It looks like you've won three at flyweight and lost one, and three at strawweight and lost. You're 3-1 and 3-1.
I had two losses. That's why.
No, I know that's why. But you're 3-1 at flyweight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
3-1 at strawweight.
Mm-hmm. So I see.
So yeah, you can kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard for me to get to 115. It's very, very difficult. I feel like I'm really healthy. I feel great about my body and how everything I feel. I've 115 is a whole another mentality. When I wake up,
you're strong at 115.
Tell me about it. That's all I got. It's really all I got going for me. I never hear someone, oh man, she's skilled. Oh man, Justine's really talented. All I hear is Justine is strong. So that's all I really got going for me, I guess.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I mean, obviously you're skilled. You're 3-1 in two different divisions. And in the UFC, you have a 2-1 record as a strawweight, 0-1, just UFC as a flyweight. But still, overall,
you're 6-2.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the pace and the cadence of the UFC. Fight day is completely different. It's, you know, do this, do that, do this. I really like to be by myself and doing certain things. But at 115, I do wake up really, really exhausted for fight day. And that's something different.
Have you ever done a camp while being with the PI? You think that might make the difference for a strawweight fight?
That's what we're going to see now.
Okay.
So it's like a little experiment. I kind of like it. Like I'm like that little Frankenstein. But no, this is my first time and I have nutrition advice. Under one roof, which is so rare, because when I'm living out in LA, I've got to go one place for wrestling for MMA. Then I have to go to another place for my jiu-jitsu. Then I have to go to another place for my strength and conditioning. I'm traveling all day long from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. in LA. And so in Vegas, I'm like, wow, I have everything under one roof. I have my nutritionist, I have my strength and conditioning, my physical therapist, and it's all complementing. It's all the same big picture, and no one has to like call each other to figure out notes. It's very easy to stay on the same page, and there's so many of us. We're in different cases.
Traffic sucks, doesn't it? In LA?
Yeah, I it's like a big parking lot. It's all I haven't.
The good thing is now you know that between 5 and 7 you can put it on channel 93 and you catch Georgia Goes on.
I don't know what else other station right? Anyone else will be listening to.
Exactly.
I like her too.
That was nice. Nice plug.
Smooth,
there.
Right?
You haven't tried the drink yet.
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
This is another good thing about being
in Vegas.
In Vegas and on recovery mode is.
She said, I'm going to be honest. That's the only way she knows how to be. You ready, Goes?
Honest in the sense of, like, if it sucks.
If it sucks, she's going to tell you.
This is called the what?
The Gozy.
This is called the
Gozy. So I'm going to remember if I call the Gozy. All right, here we go.
That's good, right?
I think so.
I think it's really refreshing.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. If they sold this at the store, you'd be in trouble.
At the fuel center? Is that what it's called? What was it?
This is really, really freaking good.
Is that what it's called? At the PI? The fuel center?
It's called the fuel center.
Fuel center, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
I thought it was just the cafeteria.
So when you walk into the Performance Institute, you walk in, they have this wonderful lady that says hello, and she makes a shake, whatever, all the things that you need. If you want more protein, BCAAs, any sort of drinks, it's really nice. And we're on a texting and calling basis, so I call her, and, hey, I'm on my way. I just had this workout, this moderation, this level.
I could be on the treadmill.
Yeah.
With 5 minutes left.
Sure.
And I can just pick up my phone as I'm finishing up the cool down, right? And then I just go. Double cheeseburger, fries, put chili and cheese on.
That's going to be tricky.
And a Dr. Pepper, and I'll be right down in 10 minutes.
I would say absolutely. See, I try
to. And I could do that and just show up like a sweaty bastard, a big old ring right here, and show up and go, hi, I'm George. You got my burger? And they'll do it?
No, they won't do it. They'll let you know if it's within PI standards or not. I did try to get like a.
So they'll text me back and go, listen, you fat bastard.
They're like, hey, listen,
you're supposed
man.
To be eating oatmeal or veggie. Ah, I got you.
Yeah, they do. They try to benefit your training.
Pretty good.
So like I tried that before. I went over to the cafeteria. I was like, hey, can I just grab this cookie? I think I deserve it. And she's like, you got to pay for that one. I'm like, darn.
Oh, they'll give it to you, but you got to pay.
You got to pay. So is it worth the extra, you know?
I'd still
pay.
You know, pick your poison.
Can I have this little oatmeal here? They would have said, just take it.
Yeah, if it's in PI standards, then in the meal, like, then totally, yeah. Then we get
I mean,
for free
good,
the compliment.
That's kind of evil, right?
It
is.
No way, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I wish, like, grocery stores were like that. That'd be so much. That'd be amazing. If it's good
for
you.
You would cure the obesity
right?
Problem.
Like, you know, convenience is, like, convenient. You really have to pay for, you really pay for convenience in the States. I realize that. Like, when I'm living out in Asia, is like the healthy foods, the things that are in like the markets and like the fresh produce, the things that aren't mass produced is a lot cheaper. And the things that are American made are like Oreos are like 300% more. So it's like backwards here, or it used to be at least. I was there like two or three years ago. So it's been a while since I've been.
You go to Thailand, you said? Mm-hmm. Where do you go when you're in Thailand?
I'm really attached with Simbi Muay Thai. They're amazing there. I get 6-8 hours of training, 3 to 4 hours in the morning, 3 to 4 hours in the evening. In the afternoon, I go to school and I try to learn the language.
Thai?
Yeah.
Can you speak a little Thai?
Chan Phut Thai Nit Noi Khap. So that means I speak a little Thai. I should probably know a lot more. If I was a really smart person, I would probably be very, very fluent. But I probably have...
How many languages can you speak?
Two right now. So
Russian,
yeah.
And English?
Oh, no, no. I can speak very, very little Thai, very basic, like five-year-old, like vocabulary. Like my vocabulary is not very vast. Then again, their dictionary is not very vast. So,
okay.
But no, I forgot my Russian. I came to the States when I was 5, so I'm a proud Russian-American. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a thing against Russians. I don't think you can trust them.
Well, I would never say that.
No,
do we know Russians?
I shouldn't have said that.
Well,
you know one.
I know one, yeah.
Half of one.
Well, Valentina's from Kyrgyzstan. So I don't know any of born in country of Russia. Oh, Georgi Karakanyan. He was technically born in Russian. I think we can claim to know him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that. We don't know too many.
No, I came to. I learned English within a year, mm-hmm. And so I like to say. I mean, my Thai is way better than my Russian. Like, I prefer to just be considered American at this point.
Can you understand it, like when people are talking?
Very little. It's just. I grew up in the. I was born in Russia by Russian parents, and I was put into an orphanage, and I grew up in an orphanage. So I never really got to see Russia. Mm. This was in St. Petersburg, and at 5 years old. I'm actually just a few months shy of 5. I got adopted by Americans, and they spoke English, no Russian. My American dad spoke a little bit. He was actually Hungarian. But, I just learned English way faster than they could learn Russian. Because, you know, kids, they soak up languages really, really quickly. Yeah. So that was me. So, yeah, as soon as people say, oh, Justine's from Russia, we changed my name. We changed everything when I came to the States. And they start speaking to me in Russian, and it's just so embarrassing. I'm more American. I'm sorry.
If there's one language I love
America.
What language would you want to learn? If today you could flip a switch and now you know another language, what language would it be?
I'd say Mandarin.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, I kind of know Portuguese, so I would want to fully know Portuguese. But if you say, well, you kind of already know it, then my next one would be maybe Italian or...
Dove le vigile. You know what that means?
Wait.
Where is my luggage?
That's what I was going to say.
Dove le my chile?
Dove le vigile.
Oh, vigile. Okay.
Where's my luggage?
I thought you were saying like chile as in chili. I was like, where's my chili or something? Okay.
Maybe. I like how when you say, where's my luggage, you kind of throw in a...
Dove le vigile.
Where is my luggage?
That's how the Italians are like very hands, right?
Dove
how about you?
Tanca. I know that's where I'm...
Maybe Japanese.
Yeah, I thought of that one too.
Yeah.
Okay, good question. All right, you were here when I asked Mickey the question I'm about to ask you. I feel like sometimes I have to preface it because otherwise people are like, oh my God, are they setting me up? But really, we ask every fighter when they're in studio if they can share a good street fight story. You got one for us, Justine?
Dang it. Jeez.
You can go as far back as you need. Elementary school, girl pulled on my hair, whatever.
You guys, this is bringing me back like to my college days. I'm so like, it reminds me, and a question like this reminds me of how like lame I am because I really don't go out that much and put myself in like crazy settings. Yeah, I would say there was a time someone really pissed me off.
Okay, set it up. This was your college days?
Yeah, back in college days.
So what happened? Where was this?
North Carolina for sure.
Okay.
But like, I was at UNC Charlotte.
Was this like geography class, art class? Student center?
No.
Center?
This was like weekend life.
Oh, okay.
This is like the weekend life. And then just drinking and alcohol,
at
blah,
a bar.
Blah, blah. No, I'm talking, what I remember is in the outside scene. And this girl just kept, not to me directly, to someone else, but I just had enough of it. She just was just running her mouth. And
about what?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Obviously, it wasn't a huge deal, but it was just about other people. She just didn't need to say it. Right. It was enough. And so she was in a car, and she was just yelling things out her window, I remember. And then I was like, she really still going? So I hopped out of my car, and I wanted to talk to her. And as soon as I started approaching, she started to put her window up. But then so I just used my finger, and I just pulled her window back down.
With one finger?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how, but it was going down. It was definitely going down, and the look on her face, she was freaked out, and you know, I just unlatched her seatbelt and I pulled her out.
You're like a superhero.
ever so nicely, but I was just like, "You've got to stop! You're being belligerent. You're just being ridiculous." There's
so you took off the seatbelt, you mm-hmm. pulled her out.
Yeah, and she was just kind of like laying back, like, "Oh my god!" Like, but she finally stopped talking, and that was all I really wanted her to do. I was like, "You've got to stop! You've got to go home! You've got to have someone else drive for you, something." And really that was it. She just freaked out and she kind of froze and like a deer in the headlight kind of look to it. And
even do like a fake, like,
no, she just so the fear in her eyes. Like, okay, this is enough for her. And
you might've saved her life.
No, I wasn't going to like hurt her, but I just wanted to have the conversation with her. Like, hey, it's enough or it's done.
No, but I think he means if she continued to be a jerk, somebody else might've beat her up. You might
see what I imagine is just really bad, crazy things going on. And I just, if I did something to someone, of course I'd want to help them, take them to the hospital. I just want to deal with all that. But
there's a part of me wants to see if I can stop a window with one finger.
I don't know how. I don't know if it was a roll up or automatic. I just remember like she was pulling it up. I was like, no. And I just like pulled down and she was like trying to go up. And I was like, like with one finger, I was like, you
that's
bring
funny.
It. And so it was going down. I don't know. I hope I didn't break it. I don't know. But it was just, it was vague. And she just kind of freaked out. And it was just everyone scattered out. And maybe one time during gym class, during like kickball, one girl got mad that I was running the bases. So she like did this crazy wild haymaker. And I saw her shoulder like open. And then I just like punched it. Like it was like ever so slow. It was like slow motion. And I was like, her shoulder's right there.
You're
so I just
running
punched
the bases.
It. Yeah.
She comes at you, and as you're running, you just, boom, pop her shoulder.
Oh, she threw her hand back way behind
right.
her shoulder.
Over what?
I guess the fact that I skipped the line to kick the ball.
Oh.
She was really competitive, clearly. I don't know where she is today. Maybe she's still there. But
this happened in North Carolina, too?
This happened in high school, and I got so upset. I just punched her shoulder. She fell back. She took all of her jewelry off. I gave her time. I gave her... She's like, I'm going to take my jewelry off. She started taking all the jewelry off. I'm like, all right. So I look, just standing there waiting for her to take her jewelry off. And she, like, winds her right hand back and ever so slowly. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to punch her shoulder. And I did. And she goes flying back. And that was it. But the next thing I was, like, facing suspension and facing these things. And
I wouldn't have suspended her. If I was the principal and I said, wait, what happened? And then they talk about the windup, and there was only a punch to the shoulder. Like, a nose wasn't broken.
Mm-hmm. Well,
nobody was kicked or spit, or there was no blood, right?
Well, I told the assistant.
I go, come on, you two girls. Tough it out. You know, shake hands, and let's get back to class.
I told of course, I talked to the assistant principal and all this. Great. I did a good job forgetting about this. So I talked. I was like, "What am I? Do you want me to wait for her to hit me, or I can't do anything back?" Like, so. Anyways, I got after school detention. So yeah, they minimized the sentence. So it wasn't so bad. But of course, there are little minor things here and there. But I can't really say there was nothing really that memorable. Like, no one really like put an impact in my life. Oh, I remember that. And just maybe little pushes here and there. But really, people don't mess with me.
Okay, now I want to ask you another question. We're going to go in another direction.
Okay.
You work at a nutrition store, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has anybody come in and said, I'm on the keto diet, or tell me about the keto diet? A lot of my friends are talking about the keto diet. You know much about the keto diet?
Oh, I hear about it all the time.
They're saying taquito diet.
Oh, they're on the taquito diet.
You have to tell me about that.
Yeah. He's joking. Okay. Well, tell me about the keto diet.
It is a huge new diet. Very, very low carb, low sugar. I don't know how.
Yeah, so isn't it just a low carb diet?
Yeah.
Why do they have to call it that? trying to sound cool. Oh, I'm on the keto diet. I'm on keto, and they got books about keto and keto recipes, and they
good
keep
question.
Exchanging it. And I'm like, leave me out. Well, you're on a low-carb diet.
There is a state of ketosis when you're burning so many different things. So I guess they kind of played off that word with keto, ketosis. So, I mean, it's one thing getting to a state of ketosis. I know I'm in the state of ketosis where you're burning more, like, muscle and proteins instead of, like, carbs and, like, sugars. But as far as being able to operate on a keto diet as a high-performing athlete, I think it's really, really hard and just unnecessary. Mm. It's great for people that aren't really high energy, maybe, that aren't, like, doing things to our intensity, that aren't really dealing with other people's body weights in training. But I think it's really important for carbs and for sugars and to have those things. But if you want to get really, really lean and get really, like, strong as a stem of a flower, then yeah, that's great. Keto diet. I mean, I know I look great, I feel great, but it's just a different kind of strength. It's not like that animalistic kind of strength. And
gotcha.
So it's
all right. One more. How about the one where you can't eat till 11 a.m.? You heard of this one, James?
No.
I think they call it intermittent fasting.
Okay, the fasting.
Where you basically eat like at 11. What is it, like 11, 3, and 7 for 8 hours, and then 16 hours you're not, you're fasting. Mm-hmm. Do I got that sort of right?
There's so many different ways. There's so many different ways to do the intermittent fasting. Yeah, that, I would say that's one way. Sometimes athletes will take it to a level to say, okay, I'm not going to do, like for me, for instance, sometimes I'm not very hungry when I wake up, so I can do my first workout. I don't need food for energy when I wake up. I have a lot of energy when I wake up, so I can actually be in a fasted state, do my workout, and then take in my nutrients after. And depending on how healthy and what your diet really is like during, like, you know, states of not working out or working out, I think, you know, your body can absorb that nutrients in different ways, different speeds, different levels. Everyone's different. But I like the fasting and when I'm in certain parts, like in training camp, but not forever. I like switching things up. Like if I'm in camp, then I wake up, I'll do my in a fasted state, do my workout, take in my nutrients, make it just seems like to be absorbed a little bit better for me. And that is a big, you know, it's a big thing, but I think people think, oh, it's only this way, and that's the only way it will work. I don't think that's right to take. That's not the right approach. I think everyone's bodies are different. They respond differently to supplements, to protein, to BCAAs, to vegetables, to, like, all the minerals and vitamins you're taking. But so intermittent fasting works to an extent, I think. I feel like mentally it kind of resets my body. Mm-hmm. And I can, like, go into, like, okay, I'll fast for today, and the next day I'll start with, you know, a proper diet. There's different approaches with this fasting, but it all depends on the individual.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
What do you think? Have you tried it yet?
No, I've never really. I've tried just minimizing my carbs.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago. What'd they call that one?
The Atkins?
The Atkins diet, where it was mostly protein, and you were either zeroing out your carbs or whatever, and then, you know, so I stick to, I just tend to say low carb because I can't eliminate carbs, to be honest. I'm never just going to eliminate them. So Atkins is off. Plus, I think the guy Atkins, he actually passed away. So how good could his diet have been? And then
everybody
the
dies,
whole ketosis
George.
And this and that, I just know that when I do want to drop some pounds, lower my carbs. I'm pretty good about lowering my sugars. I don't intake too much salt. My problem is just overindulging. I don't know when to stop.
Tell me about it.
And
that's my problem right now.
We literally walked out of a buffet about 2 hours ago.
Oh, I wish you had called me. I could have yeah. enjoyed the buffet with you guys.
When we talked, well, I was at the buffet actually, yeah. When we were zeroing in on getting you in here for mm-hmm. a little bit longer, mm-hmm. yeah.
So I'm enjoying like the worst foods right now. Like, I mean, obviously you can, you know, see I'm like a little bit heavier right now, but I'm enjoying it. You know, I stick with the PI food, but on the outside I kind of do what I want. I'm going to integrate back to, you know, my staple diet to the PI. But I think it's good to like have like a plan, like in the beginning, the middle, the end. I mean, sorry, like the beginning, yeah, the middle and the end. It's good to have a plan on what you're going to do. Like I say I'm like kind of the beginning phases. I was just told today, okay, let's start integrating to like more of like your staple diet. And that means subtracting the bad stuff. So if you really try to figure out what to do and if you're really all over the place, I think the best start is starting like with like foods. I read a book like in the paleo diet and that was like about if you can
another
pick
one, yeah.
if you can pick it. grow it and kill it, then you can eat it. So that's really subtracting anything that's like mass produced, like in boxes, anything that's you know, yeah, expedited kind of production, you know.
So like I try fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Meats, you can all.
So if you can pick it, kill it, and grow it, or if God made it, some one way or another, whichever way, if you can stick to just that every like 3 to 4 hours, that's a good start. You know, and then you can really start to like, okay, what should I, you know, kind of like the caveman diet. Like, what are the caveman people? Again, that's actually a bad example because there's no more caveman, is there?
Just the Geico guys.
Just the Geico guys. Yeah. Darn it. But anyways, I think it's a good way to establish self-discipline. If you can stick with good foods that are just natural, like pick it, you can kill it, you can grow it. If God made it, you can have it. So think. That subtracts things that are in boxes and things that are like just fake and unfortunately like things are yeah you have to deal with GMOs and all that stuff now. I don't know. Mm. I don't know how to keep up with all that
stuff. I tried paleo once. Yeah? I didn't do well, so I think I know it more as the paleo diet.
I'm very paleo when it comes to training camp. I don't know what paleo is. You have to tell me.
That's what I did. I failed.
Oh. Yeah.
We got to take a quick break, right, guys?
Yep.
Let's do that. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We have Justin Kish in studio with us. All right, we're back, and we're going to go over some fights here in this last segment. We have Justin Kish here in studio with us. All right, Justin, we kind of know about your timeline, maybe back in September. We know that you're on a healthy comeback, and obviously we will know once you get the fight booking whether it's flyweight or strawweight, but you said you're open to fighting both, so that's great news catching up with you. We know you're living in Vegas, working at a supplement store, happy, may live here forever, maybe not, you love to travel, so it's been really fun getting to know you, but now we want to pick your brain a little bit about these fights coming up. Who do you like in the main event, John Jones or Anthony Smith?
I don't like how John Jones behaves in public, but he's going to win it. He's going to take this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's he going to do it? Submission, decision, or KO?
I think it's going to go to decision. I mean, I've been doing actually really good on this, but I really think it will go to decision. Like, I think it's
good at picking fights?
I've been good at it the past two fights.
Yeah? You gamble?
No, I don't gamble. No. I lost $20 many years ago, and I never forgave myself.
Who'd you lose it on?
No, I lost it on blackjack here in Vegas, and I lost $20.
It stung, huh?
That stung, and so I decided. I mean, unless someone wants to give me money to go spend in Vegas, that'd be great. But I never forgave myself. So no, I don't bet. I'll bet things. I'll bet like, you know, physical bets, but not financial bets.
Did the $20 go fast or were you there for a while?
It's like, see you later. I mean, I blinked and I was like, where's my money? And like, you lost. And I was like, well, fuck you guys. Oh, sorry. Shoot.
Yeah, you can curse.
It's okay.
Gosh. Well, it's nice knowing everyone.
Yeah. How about Tyrone Woodley versus Kamaru Usman? Who do you like there?
I like Usman. Oh, my God. What an athlete. He's incredible. He's just relentless. I think Woodley, though, is very, very smart. He knows... he knows how to. He really is really like a master of being evasive. Like, he knows how not to like engage in certain moments. And even though, it's really maybe what might like look like it's kind of like boring to the crowd, he's very, very smart. He doesn't want to take a whole lot of damage. And he's in and out in certain areas. I think Woodley will take it, but Usman's such a good athlete, so it's just so hard to really pick this one. All right, let's see. All right, I think Tyrone Woodley's going to – I think Tyrone – if it goes to decision, Tyrone, for sure.
Okay.
If it's a finish, then Usman's going to win it for sure.
Okay, that's good enough.
I think that will be it. Because, again, if you challenge a champ, you got to beat the champ.
Yeah.
You got to do it decisively.
Mm-hmm. All right, how about Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler? You know who Ben Askren is?
Oh, right? Yeah. He's actually one of my coach. He was a guest coach on The Ultimate Fighter season 20. That was my season. Mm. And it wasn't really my season. I hurt my knee again. But I got to train with the Ultimate with Pet. It was Team Pettis.
Right.
And Askren came in and did a guest instructor session, and I loved all of his stuff. All of his stuff really makes sense to me, and it's very relatable. I absolutely loved everything that he was doing. And I was like, who is this guy? What is he doing? And, you know, I love all this stuff. It makes sense to me. He's like, oh, that's Ben Askren. This is before UFC. He's like,
he's a two-time NCAA champ and an Olympian.
Just a stellar athlete. And I think wrestlers are just, I think they're the best athletes in the world, and very, like, undermined. Like, they're just really not respected to the level, to, like, Olympic level, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the college level. But anyways, I loved all the things that he was doing, and I was like, well, why isn't he in the UFC? That's what I asked. And he's like, oh, Dana thinks he's super boring. He just humps people and just stays on top. And I'm like, what? I love his stuff. It makes sense. It's great. And it's the kind of game plan that I need to figure out. You know, a lot of people don't want to strike with me. They don't want, like, they don't want the engagement that I want. They just kind of want to stay on top and just hug me. So I'm just kind of trying to figure that out too.
Like, wait, to be fair, you initiate some takedowns too, though.
Yeah, I of course I'll go for takedowns. I don't want people to think I'm like a one-trick pony.
Oh, okay.
You know, I like to keep people on their toes. I like to, you know, unexpected, like, oh, Justine's a striker. She doesn't know wrestling. Well, I'm going to do everything I can to improve my wrestling. Yeah. I moved back to the States. I have both of my coaches are wrestling coaches. My East Coast coach, he's a
Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were saying something along the lines like that. Uh-oh. You don't want to be on the ground. People only want to take you down. So I was like, well, wait a minute. I've seen you in a few takedowns too.
No, I've finished fights with takedowns. I mean, okay. It's not the funnest way. I don't like really making people tap. I like making people knocking them out and finishing them for good. But UFC at 115 and one flyweight fight, they've gone to decision. So I'm going to change that. That's something I've been thinking about when I wake up.
Yeah, you're a formidable kickboxer.
Yeah. But no one wants to really kickbox with me here. Everyone just wants to take me down and hump me. Sure, why not? But the clock runs. It's boring, and it's just like, oh my god! But it's
so
winning.
You think Lawler can pull that off against Lawler? Lawler's, he's a former champion at welterweight. Very athletic, very strong, packs a punch. Who do you like in that one?
Like Lawler. Like, I think he's going. I think he's going to win it. Ben Askren's a great wrestler and everything, but I think Lawler is better overall. So I would say Lawler for sure. And he was maybe this is a little biased pick just because he was the main event for my debut. So I was really cool watching him win. But he's amazing. He's on a roll right now. So I would say Lawler, but Ben Askren just he deserves a. Like, he needs that win.
Yeah. You'll be cheering for Askren, I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Skill wise, Waller, but Ben Askren, I think it'll be a great win for him. Win for his career.
Let's go into your world here. Women's MMA. We got a big fight on the main card. Tisha Torres versus Weili Zhang.
I just met her actually here at the PI today.
Weili Zhang. Okay. Cool.
All I've heard was amazing things. All I've heard was great things about her and how she's on this role and how she's doing incredible things. She's just super good, great on the pads. So there's, you know, word here how great she is. I don't really know much about her.
Great striker.
Great, but yeah.
I mean, all around, honestly, she's really, really tough. Torres has only lost to the best fighters, Joanna, Jessica, Rose. She's even beaten Rose once, but she's also beaten some good fighters along the way as well.
She hasn't gone against me yet. But this is a really good matchup. Nothing against Tisha Torres, but I would love to go against her tomorrow. I want to go against her as soon as possible. She's very protected, though. I don't know how easy it would be to get a fight against Tisha, but she's definitely someone I would love to go against.
Who are you picking?
I think Tisha's going to take it.
All right, next one. Munoz and Garbrandt. Pedro Munoz versus Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, I know Pedro. And he's not going to let a guy like Cody get to him. Like, I mean, Cody's so good. He's doing a great job. He studied his opponents really well. But I think Pedro, because Pedro, he adjusts well, really, really well in competition timing. You know, there's people that don't know how to adjust well when surprises happen. And that they don't know how to deal with that oh shit moment, but Pedro does. Pedro's like, oh, things shifted right now. I can deal with this. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Cody really handles it very well when things like don't go his way. I think he shuts down. Pedro adjusts to it, and I see that happen in training. I see it happen in competition. I see him make those adjustments. And there's no oh shit moments for Pedro. There's okay, something changed. Let's get after it. I'm going to finish this person in this style, in this way. He kind of calls it himself. I just saw Pedro today at the PI, gave me a big hug. It's been great. He was one of my first training partners and, you know, co-teammates over at Black House MMA. And he's just always doing things to, like, to change his game, to change his, to improve his striking, to improve his groundwork at the level that he is already. He's always trying to find something different. And I think that's what makes him so unpredictable. So I can say is Pedro, I think Pedro has this for sure.
Okay, last one. Johnny Walker versus Misha Cirkunov.
Oh, man. I like Misha a lot because I've met him. I see him a lot over at the Performance Institute, and he's great. I don't know much about Johnny Walker, so I just know Misha is really on the top of his game. He's doing a great job in his camp.
He's a tough guy, man.
And yeah,
Walker's coming off the win over Ledet and Roundtree. He's basically just starting off in the UFC. Won a Dana White Contender Series, the Brazil version, but here in Vegas. And
But
he's had two really, really fantastic KO finishes. So a lot of people are favoring him. Misha Cirkunov, we know about him, man. He started off like 5-0 in the UFC. He's had a couple losses, but he's tough. We see him a lot of.
Do you know the age difference?
I can look it up for you.
Yeah, because I know Misha's up there. I don't know how old is Johnny.
Johnny is 26.
Think Misha is
31.
30. Okay,
that's
31.
Not too bad, yeah.
I thought he was older.
Well, now we have to see if you're a good judge of character. How old do you think he is?
Oh, man. All right, hold on. How old do you think I am?
No, you can't flip it on us. We started this game.
All right. Okay, let's see. 43.
How old do you think I am?
Wait, what if I didn't have that gray patch right here?
This gray patch is throwing me off.
Yeah, what
that's
if I
what
didn't
it
have
is.
It, then what?
42.
You just took off a year because mm-hmm. of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was going to be in the 30s.
Oh, okay. Right,
I'm 49.
Ah.
How about you? How about goes?
Okay. I would say, let's see, 37.
No, but closer with me than you were with him. I'm 40.
Okay. Yeah. Well, gee, sorry, guys. All right, now your turn. How old do you think I am?
I think we got to take a commercial break, right?
We know because we,
oh, shoot.
We have all your info
that's
right here.
That's not cool. commercial
but,
break.
But I guess if I didn't see this, I'd put you at 25.
So wonderful. All right. Drinks on the house for you.
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, we got to wrap up here.
Cool.
Is there anything you want to plug? Go ahead. I mean, I saw you did a seminar recently. Are you going to do more of those, or do you want to plug the program at Drysdale's?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Go ahead. Yeah. So while right here, that's actually a great idea. So while I'm here, I'm in Las Vegas, March 2nd. I'm starting a woman self-defense seminar that is for non-experienced, maybe a little bit experienced, March 2nd over at Drysdale Combat Fitness. And registration ends on the 28th. I think that's tomorrow. But if you want to join me, gloves, shin guards, mouthpiece, we're going to have all that fun. We're going to do a little bit of combat fitness, jiu-jitsu, and striking over here in Las Vegas over at Robert Drysdale Jiu-Jitsu.
For more information, it's hello at DrysdaleCombatFitness.com or you can call 702-258-0048. That's Drysdale Combat Fitness here in Las Vegas, the 8-week program. Yep. Women's intro starts on March 2nd, so the day of the fights, come in for a good workout from 9 to 10 a.m. with Justine Kish.
Thank you.
UFC strawweight / flyweight.
Exactly.
She's keeping it a secret. She'll tell us
top
soon.
Secret.
All right, we're going to go to commercial. When we come back, we'll be talking to Johnny Walker, one of the latest additions to the UFC. He won through Dana White Contender Series, and then he's just been destroying fools these last few months. He's got a big fight against Misha Cirkunov at UFC 235 on Saturday. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, and Justine Kish has moved over from guest to co-host. As we welcome Johnny Walker, UFC light heavyweight, who will be fighting on Saturday against Misha Cirkunov at UFC 235. He just fought. He just beat up Justin Ledet a few weeks ago. So I thought he was going to chill for a little bit, relax, you know. And instead, he's fighting already. This is a quick turnaround. He just fought on February 2nd, and now it's March 2nd. So literally 30 days. Well, February only has 28 days, so it was a lot quicker. And then before that, he fought Khalil Roundtree. He's been a busy guy. Welcome, Johnny Walker. How are you?
Thank you, my friend. I feel great.
Yeah.
So happy to be here. again.
Yeah, and so, yeah, because you won a contender series in Vegas, and then you went out and beat up somebody in Argentina, Roundtree, and then you won the Ledet fight in Fortaleza, Brazil. You don't want to relax a little bit?
I relax when I fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You just want to fight again?
Yeah, to be relaxed.
You like the competition or you like the money?
I like the competition. I don't care about money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you are very impressive. I mean, I know you're only 3-0 in the UFC, but you're 16-3 overall. But you've been off to a great start in the UFC.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, destructive, bro. Like, seriously, like, I mean, you're not just winning, you're destroying. And you got a lot of people's attention. A lot of people are big fans of you already.
Yeah, I think I will get more after this fight. I hope make impress more people again.
Yeah. I mean, your style is I call it violent, destructive, but it's so unorthodox. Like, you're doing a lot of things that we haven't seen before, a lot of different combinations that we haven't seen. Like, you know, kicks or knees that are becoming spinning attacks, whether it's an elbow or a fist.
Orthodox style.
Yeah, I love it.
Nice. I like this as well. Sometimes I train some punch like nobody trained before.
Yeah. So let me tell you, I always like to be honest with the guests. The first time I saw you fight, I was like, that looked good and everything. But you know when you gave the ref a little bit of a shove?
The referee.
Remember
I'm so sorry, man. I was so excited. My first fight.
Right. So I was like,
Many people talk, this guy is crazy. Why he's do this? But I don't know. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Well, so you know, I know that it's very emotional in there, right?
Yeah.
But then, right before the Ledet fight, you had a great interview with my colleague, Fernanda Prates, out in Brazil. And you started speaking English. And you were funny, and I was like, whoa, this guy's completely different. Like, you're really, really a happy guy, a chill guy. It's just a different guy once you enter the octagon.
Yeah, this is me. But when I go inside the octagon, I have another guy there. A little bit danger and aggressive.
A lot of bit danger. Not a little bit danger, a lot of bit danger.
I try.
Yeah, but a lot of people like watching it. All right, so was it an easy decision for you to I imagine they called you to fight Misha, or did you volunteer to fight Misha?
Yeah, I volunteer myself. Because first time I hear in some social media about Sam Brooks, he have injury.
Right, OSP, yeah.
Yeah, then my manager, my coach talked to me, hey, why you don't ask for this fight? Then I make a post in my Instagram and Twitter, ask for this fight. Then I said, hey, Dana White, UFC. I'm here. Misha needs your opponent. I'm here. Only call me.
Is the weight cut easy for you?
Yeah, easy. How much were you
weighing after the fight?
My weight?
No, yeah. After the fight, 2 days when you eat a little bit,
what?
Celebrate.
That's
How my weight?
Yeah, how much? After the last fight. Despois do
107.
The Justin Ledet.
I don't know in pounds. 107 kilos.
107 kilos? Okay. You ask a question, Justine. I'm going to look up.
That's a hard, like, why would you ask that?
No, because what I'm wondering is, he likes to fight.
Yeah.
He likes the money. But the weight cut's tough.
Yeah, the weight cut's very tough.
So I'm just asking,
it adds on very quickly.
Is it a difficult cut or how much does he walk around?
It's very easy to put it back on. For women, I mean, I think it's very easy to put it back on. Like, after you compete, what are you indulge in? Like, what?
I still have a good diet, healthy life, but
oh jeez,
you need to eat some sweets and something like, you know.
Thank you.
But only 1-2 days a week I can eat sweet because I want to keep my health life, you know, and keep training to be ready anytime.
Right. So 107 kilos, 107 you said, right?
Yeah.
So after the fight, he weighed 107. That's 235. He still has to lose. Well, I mean, he's already lost some of it, but he has to get
proper heavyweight.
You want to be a heavyweight one day?
Of course. Yeah. After I get one belt, I have to get another belt.
You
want to
be a champ?
Champ champ.
I like it, man. All right.
Well,
go.
A champ champ is going to have to go like down on some food. Yeah. You have to, like,
I think I will be happier in the heavyweights because no diet, no cut weight. This is good, no?
Yeah, more food. I like it. All right, go ahead, Ghost.
Johnny, a lot of people talk about your potential, you know, to be an even better fighter in the future. Is it difficult for you to sometimes, I know you're focused on your opponent, but to maybe look to the future? Because it's okay to dream, right?
Yeah. There's no pressure. don't know, like, I know I will be good. I have so many things to learn. I have to improve myself. I still improve myself, techniques and everything, you know. I'm sure in future I will be very dungeon and complete fighter, but better than now.
Do you ever see the champion? And when you see him, do you little wink like, I'll see you soon?
Yeah. He's a nice guy. I hope
you saw John Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course, I'm sure I can give you a proper fight.
Oh.
I like it.
Are you using the PI? Why, Johnny, I have a question for you. So are you utilizing the PI while you're here in Vegas?
PI?
The Performance Institute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Very good place. After here, I go there to do some pads and jiu-jitsu and training. I have to go to my weight. I have to do some cardio. And after here, I go straight to that.
There's just some people that might be utilizing the PI. There's some people that might be going doing their own thing. I was just curious to what you were doing. Like their own thing. I mean, like they'll find their own gyms, their own places to cut weight. Some people like to stick with like the Performance Institute. Some people will do their own little routine apart just to avoid any sort of interaction or coming across like your opponent or something. So I was wondering if you're avoiding.
For me, easy. I can do this in anywhere, in the hotel, in the UFC Institute, or any other gym. Mm-hmm. I only have to keep my diet, train. I can train here in the street or anywhere. I usually do this.
Yep.
It's never. It good seems to me a really good attitude.
Yeah, great. I'll work out right here. Why not?
Yeah, of course.
It seems to me that you fighting isn't personal for you.
Sorry?
It seems to me that fighting isn't personal.
It really shouldn't be.
You don't hate your opponent.
No. You shouldn't. Why?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of fighters
people,
are.
Why people hate the opponent? Why?
Mind.
For me, it's about respect. For me, it's about, I'm so happy you accepted this fight. Because you accepted it, I get paid. I get to compete. I get to do these things. So yeah. I'm really happy for my opponent. Yeah, I'm very respectful.
He's not my enemy. He's my opponent, you know?
There's no, I don't understand the whole animosity, the violent behavior. I don't understand that. I respect the fact that you accepted it because most decline before they accept. And so I like the acceptance. I appreciate it. There's no disrespect there because all it takes is one bad thing or one thing to say and say, I'm not fighting anymore. Doesn't matter. Even at this level, at UFC or at, you know, all it takes is, I don't feel like fighting this person. I don't have to fight this person if I don't want to. So I don't want anyone to feel like that because I want to compete. I want them to compete. I want them to want to be there to fight me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know. Right? It's same for you, right, Johnny?
Yeah. I love.
Why would you disrespect the person that wants to go in there in the arena with you?
Well, for example, like Wanderlei Silva, he used to go in there and he didn't even want to like look at his opponent or be in the same proximity. It's like he took it a little, I don't know if it was personal, but he was just intense. You know, a lot of fighters are just intense. They, you know, they're in the hotel eating breakfast and they're looking at the other guy or the other gal, and that's just how some fighters are. I mean, everybody's different.
The subculture does like that. The subculture does like the animosity, like the tension. They do like that. So that's something to build up. It helps to market.
Yeah, there's no change the fight. If I hate him or if I do something like this, no, it change the results, you know?
Yeah.
I prefer be nice because I will feel good then, you know?
Yeah. Some fighters maybe intimidation.
Me?
No, some other fighters, the ones that are mad, you think they're trying to intimidate the
Me?
Opponent? No, other fighters.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
You don't like that?
Yeah. I would like for that to happen. I wish one of the girls would go into me and like in the weigh-ins, you know, like to have some like, you know, show some like animosity, show some like, you know, some canter. Like I actually thought when I went against Felice, I thought she would do something during the weigh-ins, you know, pull something out of her sleeve. But most of them like to have like that mutual respect. But if someone did like try to like show me up, then I would have a response to them right away. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is for me, like, okay, don't talk about it, be about it. People can say whatever they want to me, and then they have to prove it. For me, they have to prove it in the arena. They have to prove it on the canvas, you know. So they can say whatever they want. It really does not bug me. What bugs me are things that happen in competition, in things like that. that action is what bugs me. Like, you know, like not bugs me, but is what gets a response out of me. Mm-hmm. Not talk. Anyone can talk. Talk is cheap. You know, it's all about everything you get, everything you did, everything you did to prepare for that moment. And it's whoever is the better athlete that day. Everyone at the UFC level is going to be the best. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. It's going to be at the pinnacle of their career. Like, this is the, you know, this is the MMA. I mean, people are like, oh, okay, MMA is like to UFC as like football is to like NFL. Like, you know, we're at the top of a sport. Everyone's going to be good. Yeah. So whose night is it? Who had everything going? Who, you know, who played the cards? Who, you know, kept their composure all through, you know, whether it's venue changes, whether it's diet changes. There's so many contributing factors. All so right. Whoever has it going for them that night.
What other sports do you like? Did you play when you were young
football,
boy?
Basketball. Volleyball.
Oh, you're tall. You're 6'6". You're tall. Did you play a lot of basketball?
Yeah. Basketball, volleyball,
were
football.
You outside shooter or inside shooter?
Anywhere.
Dunk?
Yeah.
He's a triple threat.
That's right.
You can reverse.
No, like the professional ones, but I can do.
Yeah. And what else did you play? Football? Futebol?
Yeah.
Okay. what position?
Striker.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Like Ronaldo, Romario.
Yeah.
Who else goes? Bebeto and Hulk. Remember Hulk?
Yeah.
I know my soccer. I've been to Brazil many times.
Nice.
It's a great country with great athletes.
Yeah.
Football, basketball. And then what about aside from sports, what else do you like to do?
I like adrenaline. Everything give me adrenaline, I love it.
Do you ever go hang gliding?
What?
Hang gliding.
Don't know what is this.
Hang gliding is...
Have you done it?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Hang gliding is...
Where?
When you jump on, like, oh boy.
I did it in a video game. I would do this. There's like a big, like, it's like big, like, wings. They're like, it's a kite.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. You know.
No, I know. I never fly like this.
Oh, you never fly like that? Okay. You heard the story about Hollis Gracie, right?
Yeah.
Remember the accident that he had? It was in hang gliding. Yeah. I just don't know how to say that in Portuguese.
I know, but so as a Delta.
You do skydiving?
Skydiving.
Yeah. Do avião tirar com parachute?
No.
Nothing
with like...
What
like
kind
this.
Of adrenaline? Sharks or what?
I don't know. I have to try because I love adrenaline.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
I do downhill.
Downhill?
You know, bicycle, downhill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. You race cars fast?
Yeah. Motorbikes as well.
Oh, motorbikes. Okay, cool. Go ahead, guys.
You played basketball. He used to play basketball too. Do you think he was good or bad?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I can see you being a point guard.
See that trash can?
Watch this, Johnny.
Watch.
And block. Oh, darn it.
Oh, Justine.
Oh, I was hoping to block it.
Make another one. Let's see if Johnny can do it here.
Can Johnny?
I'm not going to try to block it.
You
now.
Shoot, Johnny. Let's see if you can make it.
Me?
Yeah, we're going
to add some defense to it.
She's going to play defense.
I got defensive player of the year, 2008. Got to beat that.
There's three.
Oh,
no. That was pretty funny. I like that one. All right, so you're fighting Misha Cirkunov. What's your prediction for the fight?
Ooh.
Win the fight.
Yeah. What round?
I hope it's the third one.
Oh, you want to put some work in?
Yeah. Okay. I need to test myself. I think Misha can give me this.
Mm-hmm. How many fights do you want to fight in 2019? Quantas lutas este año?
Maybe 10.
Oh, wow.
Like Cowboy? He fights a lot.
Yeah, of course.
10
That's so
fights.
Cool.
Wow. Or more. If I have no injury, I can fight every month.
True story.
Wow.
Two a month. Maybe some. Not have more GP. Like three fights a day. No.
It's tough. I mean, frequency is like it's tough in the UFC. You have to wait. There's a bracket. Everyone wants a spotlight. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we just want to compete. We want to get in there, injury or not injury. We want to go in there. We want to compete, especially after a fight. Like, you know, especially, I mean, I'm coming off of a loss. I lost an arguable decision, and I want to compete the next weekend. But, you know, I have a few people against me on that decision saying, hey, you have to get your knee fixed. You have to do this. But, yeah, we want to get in there. We don't want, you know, it's a small, it's not a lifetime window. It's a small little window. Mm-hmm. And we want to try to like get in as much as we can.
Who's your favorite fighter ever, Justine?
Oh, good question. Oh, my gosh. Like in women and men?
Anybody.
Jeez, I have to think about this because then I'm thinking, okay, we're talking about real fighters, talking about superheroes.
Real fighters. Our fighters. Who's your favorite? I'll let you think about it.
Yeah, let me
who's
think
your favorite
about this.
Fighter, Johnny?
Anderson Silva.
Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Okay. And now back to you.
That was way too quick. Okay. Why Anderson Silva?
Yeah, because he's an amazing fighter. He's play. He's make everybody like, oh, my God, what he can do. And, you know. And
a lot of people are saying that about you now.
Yeah, excited fight when you watch Anderson.
Have you met Anderson Silva?
Not yet.
Not yet.
And one time.
When Anderson Silva meets you, he's going to tell you, I like the way you fight. I guarantee
you.
I hope he's going to say that to you. Yeah. All right. Did you think of anybody?
I agree, by the way. I've been on the mat a couple times with Anderson Silva, and I'm over at Black House MMA, so he's there a lot, or at least when I was there. I think he would say the same. He would love your style.
Yeah.
For the girls, for female MMA, I have to say Ronda Rousey. I mean, just the way she capitalizes on moments, the way she capitalizes on being able to shift and be able to make these quick maneuvers and make these transitions. I think she did a great job, phenomenal job, opening up a window for female MMA, for females to fight in the UFC. She did a great job. I mean, the only one really, really on my radar are the champs, the people that have, like, the belt.
No,
the
your
belt.
Favorite fighters, though. Male. He said Anderson Silva. Who's your favorite man fighter?
I have to go, like, mine goes back to Thai style. It goes to Sanchai, and it's, a lot of people are unfamiliar with that. But I have a lot of favorite, Thai fighters, but they're,
I am Thai fighter.
I'm very, very
as
big.
Well.
Yeah, Thai fighter. That's my specialty, so.
No, but jiu-jitsu as well, Wesley. I think I'm a complete fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell by your record that you're a complete fighter because you have, KOs and submissions, everything. But in the UFC, it's all been pretty quick, pretty fast. All right, guys, what did you have?
Mine's got to be Kazushi Sakuraba.
Kazushi Sakuraba, his favorite fighter. What was your question for Johnny?
You mentioned GP, the Grand Prix. Would you have liked for the UFC to ever have something like that, the tournament?
Yeah.
Would you want it to be same night or by little?
This is looking nice.
Yeah?
I would like that.
One-night tournament?
Yeah.
Three fights in one night?
Three fights.
Like Hoist Gracie?
Yeah, why not? Come back to the old school.
That's like Gladiator.
It is.
Yeah.
Gladiator. We're like the evolved, Gladiator era kind of thing.
Okay. I have to ask you one last question. What is a good street fight story that you can tell us? I always ask the...
Street fight?
The in-studio guests, yeah. You ever have you have a good street fight from the days in Brazil or England? No street fights? Never?
No.
Come on, Johnny Walker.
No.
See, we're pretty good at avoiding these situations. Like, we don't, we train all day long and we go home and go to sleep and call it a day. We're not really in these crazy avenues. And, I mean, things happen, obviously, here on social media.
Right.
I think most of us do a pretty good job of avoiding that scene and that scenario. Like, don't be around those kind of people that would entice that, and like, why would you do that to yourself? I mean, if you're training all day long, again, there are things that happen obviously in college back in the days, but I mean, I don't know about Johnny, but I forgot about those days.
Alright, so você tranquilo?
Yeah, poquito.
Actually, I have to change my mind on the answer on the right now. Habib is one of my favorites, I have to say.
Nurmagomedov?
He's fantastic. He's a lot of fun to watch. I love that he's a low-key kind of character on social media. And he's just, his game is in competition. Like, there's not a lot of talking. It's more physical example. And I love physical against example.
All right. Okay, so we're almost done here, Johnny. Who do you think wins between John Jones and Anthony Smith?
Win?
Yeah. Kimba Ganai.
I hope John Jones.
John Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. Why you hope John Jones?
Because I want to meet him in the future.
Oh, soon? In 1 year, 2 years, or 6 months?
In 2 years, 1.5. I don't know. Yeah.
He's gunning for the top guys.
I hope he hold his belt until I'm there.
Say that again, please.
I hope he's hold his belt until I'm be there.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Interesting, huh? That's pretty interesting. All right. How about Tyron Woodley and Kamaru Usman?
I think the champion.
Tyron Woodley?
Yeah, it's true.
Do you watch a lot of MMA when you're not fighting?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Watch?
Yeah. You don't watch other fights?
No. I have to say the same.
No, don't watch too much.
You don't watch either?
No. I mean, we live it every single day. Last thing I want to do is go home and put our TV on and watch even more. Hey, this is a common subject. I did footwork with a camp, with an NFL camp, off season, and they said the same thing. They don't watch football.
Huh. Okay. And you don't watch
football players, I think, you don't stop the free day to the off day to stop my off day. I will watch football.
Yeah, you got to get yourself out of that mindset.
Your teammates, your friends.
Yeah, sometimes. If I want to watch, I watch. But no.
If you're fighting, yeah. I would tune in to watch for sure.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
If I have a fight, will you watch?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. I would definitely watch. I was like, oh, we spoke together. You know, we had a moment. Of course, I would watch.
I watch all the fights.
I think I would root for you. Depending on who you're going for, I'm pretty sure I would root for you.
Thank you. How about Ghost? Would you root for Ghost?
So if you fought me, you would obviously root for me, is what you're saying.
I know George a little bit better.
Oh, you'd root for George?
I don't know.
We started Ghost together, right? Uh-huh.
You did. Man. All right, we'll have to do rock, paper, scissors.
All right.
That's the only way to, official.
I'll take it.
All right, Johnny Walker. Well, thank you so much for coming by MMA Junkie Radio.
Thank you.
It's really, really great to have you here in studio. It's only been three fights, but I recognize talent when I see it, and you've been very, very exciting to watch. So I look forward to many fights, not just on Saturday, but beyond that. You're very, very talented, and it was great to find out that you have very good English, too.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I hope he come here again soon
with the belt.
Yeah,
you gonna bring the belt too?
You become Tasha.
All right, awesome. I love it. All right, that's Justine Kish, UFC strawweight and flyweight, and this is Johnny Walker, UFC light heavyweight. Maybe one day a heavyweight because he likes to eat. He says, but first things first, he fights Misha Cirkunov on Saturday at UFC 235. Catch his fight. Remember, the fights are on ESPN and pay-per-view. 17 ranked fighters on this fight card. You can't miss it. Tomorrow on the show, we have Rich Franklin, Demetrius Johnson, Eddie Alvarez, and Thiago Santos. So tune in tomorrow at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. For Goz and Justine and Johnny, I'm George. Have a nice day. Go out there and be a champion.